All right, live from Lower BCC, this is Red Sea Radio. We're back again, and, well, I'm your host, Kyle Majewitz, along with Jack Sarasulo. We're very excited for this one. I think this is the most excited we've been for an episode since the Matt Turner interview. You're listening to WVOF 88.5 FM. Let me ask the question I always do. Jack, how are we feeling today?
Doesn't love a Cinderella story?
It's March.
It's March.
It's March.
There's magic in the air.
Surviving in advance.
Warm. It's getting warm. And Pharaoh's a chance to become a true Cinderella after tonight.
Exactly. So if you missed it, I don't know why you're tuning into this show. But Fairfield, first MAC tournament win since we've been on campus here. We're juniors. Manhattan had beat us the last 2 years. On top of the fact that Manhattan's just a very, very despicable team. Coaching staff can't stand them. Bench can't stand them. Players can't stand them. So it was
a little rivalry brewing.
A little bit of a rivalry, especially when you play the team the week before, right? So you just brewed up a little rivalry, and then you see them in a you know,
we'll get to the
winner moves
fight.
On, loser go home situation. So, yeah, there was a lot riding on this one. We got a lot to talk about in the next hour. But I think since we haven't had a show in 2 weeks, we're going to move a little bit back on the timeline and go back to that Manhattan series, the first series, or rather the final series of the season for Fairfield. So lost game one, right? And it wasn't too pretty. It was close for a while, and then it kind of got away from us, as we've seen a lot of times this year. Any comments on game one? We're not going to go through the whole stat line of this because we want to spend majority of the show on last night's game. But any comments on game one of the original series against Manhattan?
No, I mean, it was another... I'm more focused on game two, honestly, because obviously we won, and also we had some big performances, plus...
There's some storylines, too.
Some storylines. One was kind of a forgotten game that we've kind of seen a lot, obviously, from Fairfield.
Yeah.
A little disappointing performance, but I'm more focused on game two.
One thing to come out of game one, though, which progresses through even to today, even to tonight, is Chris Mito's injury.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. So that we reported that before.
Yeah, right? We reported that.
And everyone thought we were lying.
No, yeah, well, so we did see Mito walking around campus on a boot. Both of us saw it on two different days. And I guess they elected to play him that night on Thursday. And I guess it was he just furthered his injury to his foot. So that's unfortunate. And he's even still out today. So,
But no, one good thing that's come from that is that we've seen a lot of Jason recently.
Well, that's the second storyline.
Well, we'll talk about it once we get to the MAC game, because I have something to say about him later. But that has been fun to see.
Yeah. So we'll talk about game two right now. Obviously, the second game last Friday was Fairfield's final game of the regular season. We beat Manhattan 85-67. We watched this game together. We were getting rowdy for it. It was a good time. And like you said, Jason started, right? So we saw this lineup last night, but originally we saw it last Friday. Jason started 18 minutes, which, you know, is interesting, right? Because he barely played
most of the year.
Yeah, he barely played all year. It's interesting for Jay Young to go with that, because you had guys like, you know, Chef, right, or like even Supreme could have started, guys who actually did get a little bit more experience than Jason, and then also Jason's a freshman, obviously Supreme is too, but he has more experience. So it was a really, really interesting
or pick. even moving Chrysler to the five, putting Cruz in at the four and playing that lineup could have been an option too.
Yeah, because
there's a lot of more experienced options they could have gone with, but Jason, a freshman playing the five, an undersized five too. And some Manhattan has that, I forget his name, Warren Williams?
Williams, yeah.
He's one of the bigger guys in the MAC, too. So it was an interesting assignment he pulled.
And like, we like it, right? Because we've been, like, advocating for Jason all year. We want to see him.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, an interesting question to pose. Like, what was the thought process behind that? I would actually like to ask him that, too, when we get him back
on.
It's
also interesting because Manhattan, they're not, like, a small team. They're not, like, the biggest team, but they're not, like, a small team by any means. Like, they run a lot through Warren Williams in the post. I mean, I guess...
And we saw it last night, too.
So last night,
you said a lot. When Supreme would go out,
they
we struggled a little bit.
That was when they got Chris out of magic because Chris was not the strongest in the paint. Supreme just provides a little bit of insurance in the paint in case they get that one-on-one matchup. But I did like Jason's minutes a lot.
Yeah, so in that game Friday, Jason dropped 8 points. So, you know, 4 for 5 from the field as, like, his first real heavy minutes.
He shoots and scores a lot more than I expected.
Like, no, I like that, too.
I like that, too. He's aggressive than most of our bigs.
Yeah, so then we also had Chrysler drop 3, Caleb dropped 12, and Taj dropped 14. But the story of the night, the headline of the night, was Jake Wojcik, 33 points.
Curry.
Right? 33 points, 5 for 10 from 3, 9 for 15 from the field, 10 for 10 from the line. Which we'll talk about his performance from the line.
He's stuffing the
last
stash.
Night.
Yeah.
But in this game, pretty flawless, 33 points. Clearly led the team to the victory. I know we were tweeting about him. I know we were going crazy on Friday night watching the game. You know, it's just, I don't know.
That's the best game I think we've seen since, like, Landon.
Yeah, yeah.
When he broke the 3-point
record. Oh, yeah, against Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I mean, I'll say I wasn't surprised. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not surprised that he went off like that. You knew he had it in him.
Well, yeah, obviously.
But
the shooting has been
still a really nice way to end the season.
I mean, he's been kind of, not like this, obviously, because, like, this is incredible, but his shooting has been on fire since that St. Peter series, maybe, a little before. It's been fun to watch. I mean, having a guy like that can kind of make one move at the 3-point line and shoot a contested shot and make it, and you have confidence that's going to go in, it makes it a lot more fun to watch.
Yeah, so that kind of wraps up that series. We didn't want to spend too much time on it.
We got to talk about the full brawl.
Oh, did we talk? We didn't talk about the brawl. So there's a little brawl.
I mentioned it slightly.
Yeah, in the second game. In the first game? Second game, Supreme Cook got it into it with one of their players. You know.
3 technicals on one play, which I think is the first time I've ever seen that.
Yeah, you didn't even know that was possible, right?
X2 is a injection, so I don't know how you hit 3.
They just, what does the third even do?
Exactly.
Just tax it on just for statistical purposes, I guess?
Yeah.
I don't know. But it is what it is. I like to see the boys stand up for themselves, especially against that team who is clearly, you know, their whole team's up off the bench the whole game yelling at you. Their coach is running on the court nonstop. You like to see the boys stand up for themselves.
He didn't really start. I mean, it was a little bit of a push, but on Supreme's
part. It was
part.
A slight elbow.
Throwing the ball back at you is not how you respond to anything. At that point, that's just, you let them stand up for themselves.
The original elbow was
an elbow.
It's a basketball play. Like, that happens.
Throwing a ball at the person after the whistle is not a basketball play.
Yeah. So, anyway, not much on that. You know, obviously, like to see the boys sticking up for themselves. So, that wraps up that series, right? And you walk away from that series, or at least I did, a little nervous, right? Because we saw it last year. I was on the phone with my dad yesterday before the game, and I was telling him, like, we just saw this last year. Lose to Manhattan, beat Manhattan to end the season, and then lose to them in the MAC tournament. And we lost to them, obviously, freshman year in the MAC tournament. But the scenario from sophomore year to this year was exactly the same. And I was nervous, right?
Especially with how the conference play has played out for them, with the win-loss, we were due for.
Yeah, that's another thing, too, is how many times have we won 2 in a row? Not a whole lot, right?
Once maybe this year.
So
we might have won, like, the second part of one series
and the first of the other. So I was super nervous going into last night because you really couldn't predict that game, you know? Like, we lost by 10, we won by 20. And now what happens? It was a very unpredictable game. So to start the night, I was a little nervous. I'm not going to lie. A little nervous. Had a bunch of classes. Finally got out of class. Came over. We watched the game outside on Jack's deck over at 6 Block. It was a good scenes, but the game didn't start off too well. We were very nervous in the first half. And we're going to get into the game now. So Fairfield won 59-58. You definitely watched it if you're listening to the show. An absolute nail biter, right? In overtime,
tight throughout. I mean, it got a little away from Fairfield for a second, but it was mostly tight for the entire game.
Yeah, especially the second half. Most of the second half into overtime. So let's do like we always do: look at this team stats. Then we can talk about first half versus second half. Then we'll look at the player stats. So Fairfield shot 17 for 50 from the field, 34%. But most of that was really first half. Most of those misses, first half. I'm pretty sure they came out of the first half 17%.
I knew 20 at one point.
So, yeah, that's definitely contributed to it. 5 for 16 from the field, 31%. Or 5 for 16 from 3, sorry, 31%. We shot 71% from the line. The rebound game was pretty close, 44-42. Assists, we had 7, they had 11. And then other than that, turnovers, we had 5 more than them. Fouls, they actually had 26 to our 18. And then finally, largest lead for them was 11, and ours was 5. So that's the overall team stats. So talk to me about the first half, because, you know, for much of the first half, we were out there watching the game, and it wasn't looking too good, right?
It looked like another one of those games where they kind of lose themselves on offense. Nothing really happened. Like, it was kind of reminiscent of even
St. Peter's.
St. Peter's, even, like, past. Oh, yeah, the St. Peter's game where they won. It was very similar to that, just dead in the water. They weren't making their shots.
Even 16 points at halftime.
Yeah.
So it was nervous. I think I tweeted out, and I think it kind of showed, was that the first half, Jake wasn't really shooting.
Jake didn't get really many touches. He had that one shot off the inbounds, that one mid-range from the baseline off the inbounds, I think. And outside of that, I don't think he had anything else.
Yeah, he had barely any shots. Even Taj wasn't getting many looks in the first half. It was It was very weird. I think Caleb shot a lot in the first half.
Cruz shot a lot in the first half.
Cruz.
And he also had a lot of turnovers, too, which didn't even.
And even the shot selections.
A lot of empty possessions that weren't even.
Yeah, and even the turnovers you mentioned, like guys trying to split like a double team.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
a lot
Jake
of different.
Jake had one like that.
He fell. It was a lot of like just questionable decisions, I feel like, in the first half. And then I also said I didn't love the lineup the first half.
It was very odd. Supreme sat very long periods, and then in the second half he started and played most of the beginning. I think they ended up going. Was he in the overtime lineup?
Because he wound up with 26 minutes.
Yeah, I forget that he must have ended up in the overtime lineup. I'm trying to think. I'm like blanking.
Yeah, I can't really remember. He got 26 minutes, but
the second half he definitely played a lot more in the second half than the first half.
Yeah, and it showed, right? Because you were talking about when they would get Supreme out, we kind of were pretty vulnerable in the paint.
I mean, also that you could tell he had the advantage in the paint. I think at one possession he was like, he was sealing a guy out and had like a wide open layup. I think it must have been like one of the first baskets of the second half. He sealed the guy out and had an easy layup.
Yeah,
I told you.
Yeah, because you're like, we need to do that more.
Yeah,
I remember you saying that.
The first time he comes in the game, the first possession is a wide open layup.
Yeah, and then you know, I guess we could look at player by player right now, and then we could talk about the end of the game / overtime.
I can't even keep track. It was such a.
There's so many moments in this game that you could talk about. It's like you probably forget about some of them, but. Let's talk about the starting lineup. So, same starting lineup as the previous Friday. Jason played 19 minutes, 2 for 4 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, a steal, and 4 points. Pretty solid, I'd say, for him that night. He didn't look, like, lost, you know, especially, like we said, he hasn't had a lot of experience, plus he's a freshman. And he didn't really look lost out there in an important game.
He's in a little bit of jump shot. I remember before the year started, we were looking at his tapes, and he was like, shooting threes and stuff. We were like, is he really going to carry that over? I think one of the first baskets of the game was a mid-range jump shot by him. I mean, that's a big option. If he can start hitting that consistently, that's huge.
Yeah, yeah, because like you said, his high school mixtapes were, you know, he had a lot to his game. He's not just like a big man. He's pretty versatile. So, you know, we've been saying it all year. We're excited to see what he has. And I think he's got some room to grow and some interesting talents that'll definitely help us out next year. I would have liked to see him play more this year, I guess, but he had the sickness and then
he had the
mono. So,
but it's too late now. But I mean, it's gonna be fun to see them next year with the new recruits and possibly people leaving. You
plus, this is a bright spot. Like he's doing this at the end of the year. It's gonna carry over. He's gonna have a spot next year.
Stuff. He's gonna be confident
and a true full off season.
I mean, it'll be very interesting next year. I don't want to talk about next year yet, but. Next year, we're guessing everyone's going to be coming back, most likely.
For the most part.
Like, we're guessing, just say Taj and Cruz both come back. This is an interesting team next year.
Yeah.
With new recruits.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of
recruits plus guys getting older, getting better.
A lot of guys fighting for minutes.
Yeah. So, anyway, moving on. Chrysler, 19 minutes, 0 for 5 from the field, 0 for 2 from 3. But he had 4 rebounds, an assist, 3 turnovers, 1 foul. So no points. So
he was one of those guys forcing passes in the first half. He had one. He tried to bounce it through like 3 guys to get the Taj.
Got
through. But
that honestly was not that bad of a pass. I think the announcers gave that a little bit more.
Yeah, I think Taj
than it deserved.
Either went off Taj. It was like a slight. It was a good play by the defender even. But
yeah.
He was one of those people forcing it, and that's why his turnover showed.
But I mean, overall, just did his job
defensively.
It is what it is. Wojcik, 45 minutes, 4 for 9 from the field, 3 for 5 from 3, 4 for 8 from the line, 4 rebounds, or 5 rebounds rather, 1 steal, 2 turnovers, 3 fouls, 15 points. So let's talk about Jake. So first of all,
He's now in that tier of, like, I think him and Taj will not be sitting a minute the rest of this season.
Yeah.
As long as we go.
We need him. He's in that tier where you just need him.
Like, it used to be Taj was the guy that didn't really leave the floor and, like, a little bit of Caleb, but now I think Jake has solidified his spot as, like, a can't sit kind of player.
Well, the thing is too, like we said, he didn't really get many shots in the first half. We wanted him to. Second half, we come out, and I joked to you at halftime too.
We only need is 3 Wojcik
3. I literally at halftime, we're sitting in his house. I'm like, all we need is a Wojcik 3, a missed shot, a Wojcik 3, a turnover, a Wojcik 3, and we're back in it. And that almost kind of was how it went.
It was very close. I think he had a 3.
He had 2 threes
in a row. And then
something happened
like
where we clawed back into it. That's literally almost how it went. And I think it's worthy to note that, like, some of those threes he made weren't even, like, high-percentage shots.
Oh, no, not at all. He had one with a guy, like, draped all over him. He had that one where he dropped the guy at the end of the shot clock.
Yeah.
He had the hesitation, dropped him, then pulled it up. And then he had one that was, like, we remember it was close to the end. It was, like, a very tough shot. He almost hit it. He airballed it, but it was, like, right on
the And, you know, we were saying, though, at that point, we were like, listen, he could shoot from anywhere right now. He could shoot from logo.
Yeah. If he misses it, it's like
Curry in the All-Star game this past weekend. And we still wouldn't have minded because he was just on. You know what I mean? He was just on. And those 3 threes that he had were all big in getting us back into that game down 9 at halftime. So overall, good performance from him. The only thing we want to point out is the foul shooting last night, 4 for 8.
Towards the end of that game, it was fine earlier on. I mean, obviously
it was really just the clutch foul shots.
He can hit them normally, but that stuff just you can't even like control. Like you can control it obviously, but like you and me, like that's just you throw percentages out the window at that point. It's all about what's in your head, getting in your
head. That because like you said, it's not even like can he make foul shots. It's those clutch, high pressure shots.
Four,
you know what I mean?
He's probably 4 or 5 going into those last few foul shots.
He missed 2 in a row.
He had one, right?
He missed 2 in a row, and then he missed 1 later on.
Yeah.
And those were like,
those were the
to completely ice the game. You know, like if he made the 2, I mean, obviously we went to overtime. So if he even made 1 of those, we win the game.
I mean, if he made the first 2, it wouldn't have.
That would have really iced the game. Yeah. I hope tonight. We can fix the foul shots.
If we are lucky enough to be up late, we don't let them get back in. Cause a guy like Pappas or Hammond. Like,
and that's, you're playing a Monmouth this time. It's like those mistakes are really going to kill you.
Those guys can hit threes like no other.
Those mistakes will definitely kill you. You need to play an almost perfect game tonight to beat them. So moving on, Caleb played 27 minutes, 2 for 6 from the field, 0 for 1 from 3, 1 for 2 from the line, 2 assists, a steal, 3 turnovers, 4 fouls, 5 points. We're a little disappointed in him last night.
He struggled. He had a kind of a good start, a solid end, a bad middle, like around like the middle of the second half, early middle second half. He had a couple turnovers. He had that one. He turned over late, like at half court.
Yeah, and we had the 2 foul shots. Wojcik missed them, right? We got the rebound, right?
Oh yeah.
And then we had the chance to hit another shot to ice it, and we turned the ball over, and that's when they went down for the layup. Or the N1 layup or something like that.
Man.
So that was a massive turnover. He also missed a foul shot that would have iced it too. He was at the line, missed
a
foul shot.
He played really well in that first Manhattan game. Like he played like very.
Or
well.
Even I think it was the week before.
Yeah, like
right. The last time we were on air, we talked about him playing better.
Like the first game before the Supreme Cook fight, before he got ejected.
Mm-hmm.
That one, he played very well in that one, and it's so. You would hope he would carry it over, but he just has not been able to get get like care. He's not been able to be consistency. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Like early in the year, he had a little more consistency, and he played like one of our best players. And now, you really don't know what you're getting from him on a nightly basis.
And even that Canisius series, right? You know, that second win.
Yeah, he was
the one that closed out Element Hall. Played better. Yeah,
he made a couple of mid-range jumps. The thing I do like is that he is attacking the paint. And he is looking for passes and looking for the mid-range shot instead of just driving the people.
And like you said, too, like earlier in the year, and we say, like, you know, size definitely does hurt him. You know, he had a lot of good drives last night that he...
And he's looking for high percent shots instead of just driving to nothing.
But he had some good drives last night, but guys were able to just make up ground on him because of the size and, you know, block him or, you know, get back. So...
But yeah, if he can start hitting like a mid-range jump shot consistently in that little elbow area after a pick and roll, that's huge. That's free baskets right there because like it's so hard to cover.
Yeah,
because you have Supreme rolling
and he hit. I think his. I feel like he definitely hit one.
He hit one guy behind him, right?
Yeah, that was him.
Like that's what I mean. Like he can hit them like contested. Like if him and Supreme can get that pick and roll going. And he has that shot going. That's almost unstoppable.
You said too, the percentages were fine. Like the high percentage shots.
Yeah.
0-for-1 from three. His 1-3 was a wide open look. So
yeah, that was early in the first half.
In the corner. Yeah. So, you know, I guess didn't hurt us too bad in the sense of like taking bad shots. I think the turnovers hurt, especially the one that was really in a crucial moment.
And I think Jay is starting to know. I mean, his minutes have gone down. Since
27. 27's like in an overtime game
it's very
too.
Low for him.
Yeah. So he was putting up like. Very high minutes all season. He basically didn't come out. So, you know, moving on finally to the last starter, Taj Benning, 45 minutes, 2-for-9 from the field, 0-for-3 from three, 5-for-5 from the line, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, 2 turnovers, 2 fouls, 9 points. Not a bad night from him. Obviously, the 3-point shooting was a little rough.
He did what needed him to do.
Yeah.
He got out of the way of...
just got the job done.
Yeah, got out of the way of Wojcik, helped on the boards without Mido in the game, and kind of passed the ball, stole the ball, got a couple steals, a couple assists. Like, he did literally everything.
The only thing I'll say, though, with Taj last night, the only criticism I have, a little shaky getting the ball over the court.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he's not a point guard. At the end of the games, when they're looking for free throws, give it to him, obviously, because he's our best free throw shooter by a lot.
Yeah.
But when we're just trying to bring the ball up and start a set, every time he brings the ball up, there's 20 seconds. He puts his back to the court every time. It's just a crossover. I mean, it's like instead of spinning around to get up the court, just...
He seems to love to go left, too, right? He always has the right side open, and then he puts his back to it and goes left.
So,
I don't know if that's why I would
prefer Caleb bringing the ball, because I do trust his dribbling. There's one thing I do trust about Caleb, it's his dribbling, and I just know he's...
Even Wojcik, yeah.
And also, it just hurts to get into our sets... After 10 seconds. Like, it's tough to only have 20 seconds on a possession, especially for a team like that.
Exactly. You basically start with the shot clock minus 10.
Like, exactly. So it's I get that Manhattan pressed a lot, but it's not that hard to break a press when it's one-on-one.
And teams are going to press.
Prominent's going to press.
Because they know it works. It is what it is. And that's why we get into those situations. That's when we get into those situations where you... have the ball with like 2 seconds left, have to throw up a bad shot.
Granted, it also helps when we start getting stops and they can't press because we get the rebound and push it quick. Because when we were coming back, that's what we were doing. We were getting missed shots on the defensive end, getting rebounds and pushing it quick up the court. And that's the great thing about playing good defense is that you don't have to worry about getting pressed because you're not giving up.
Yeah, you're not giving up points. And obviously, that's what Jae Young said to us at the beginning of the year. What he wanted to do was play a little quicker. So, from starting lineup, I'd say not bad. Guys did their jobs.
Also, Taj had that big and one late.
Yeah.
Very big and one.
Exactly. Sometimes it's not about how much you put up, but it's about, the plays you make in the moments, in the moments that really matter. Moving on to the bench, Supreme played 26 minutes, 2-for-4 from the field, 4-for-6 from the line. He had 6 rebounds, 2 fouls, 8 points. Like you said, he had like a weird game because he sat for long periods at times.
Still got what we kind of expect from him. He can't do the Mido Cook combination
when he wasn't playing.
I mean, I guess we could do it with Jason because it's kind of similar. But
I liked the 4-for-6 from the line from him. Beginning of the year, he's gotten a lot better at free throws.
It was late. I think he hit two. It was like
two in a row.
Two in a row late in the game. It was very impressive. If he can start hitting free throws and take away them being able to like hack him and stuff. He is going to be a beast, next year.
That'd be huge because he can go up strong.
He can go up strong and not have to worry about just getting hacked to the ground. He gets man ones even.
Exactly. So that would that would be big. And he did hit some big free throws last night. And even from the, he looked good.
I mean, yeah, it's not like it's a bad form. He looks fine, especially for like a big guy like him. It's hard to like get a nice form from that big, but he looks fine up the line, and hopefully he keeps up. I mean,
and he's gonna. We talked about, and we'll talk about it later, but he's gonna have to have a big night tonight. So
yeah,
we'll talk about that in a bit. But finally, or not finally, but moving on. Allen Jean Rose, 9 minutes, 1 for 2 from the field, 0 for 1 from three, 2 rebounds, an assist, a block, a foul, 2 points. We were a little disappointed again last night.
Honestly, we were disappointed for the first like four. His last few minutes were pretty good for him. For how he's played this year, he had that one mid-range jumper.
I think he almost had a steal, too, at the end, right?
Yeah, he had that one. He got on the ground. He dove for a ball late. I think he got the steal and almost... He had that great pass to set up Cruz for that wide-open layup late. Later on in the game. It was a better game than he's had most times. He definitely made some type of impact tonight, and that's what we asked for.
And I think we were mostly disappointed in his early minutes.
Yeah, right? That's what I mean.
When we were like, all right, we have 4 points, 10 minutes into the game.
And he's in the game.
And that kind of offensively doesn't do anything for us.
It was either, I think it must have been the second half he did that in. That had to have been the second half. So, I mean, his second half minutes were definitely
better than the first half.
His second half minutes were kind of what we hoped we could see from him, kind of setting up.
Because he's been decent on the defensive side.
Oh yeah, for sure, because his length, it's hard not to be.
And in those like 1 point games, you could take that, right? You can have like a defensive guy in like that, but
you could do a little,
in
like,
the beginning of the game when we needed
we
offense.
We do a little offense defense late in the game because there's so many whistles after every like basket. But yeah, no, I mean, he also had that, like, he's been, that mid-range jumper he shoots is like kind of getting, like, he's kind of getting turned into a shot, that little like bunny hop. So I mean, like, if he
hit one last
night,
right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. If he's aggressive enough and drives, like, I mean, why can't he start hitting that more often?
Yeah, I mean, that's all, like, self-practice and stuff. But, and late in the game, too, it's like, you know, he's not getting the ball. He's not getting those shots anyway. So it doesn't really matter that he's, like, you know.
Yeah, if he just happens to be a guy in the court just to space it out.
Yeah.
Not getting the ball. Like, it's going to be Taj, and he's going to kick it out to Jake or Caleb.
Yeah,
if not.
So you already know what you're getting on offense late in the game anyway. We just didn't like in the beginning of the game where it was kind of...
We needed offense.
Yeah, we needed the offense.
Injection of offense.
Moving on, Chef, he got 3 minutes. Didn't have a whole lot of opportunity last night, but he had a rebound and an assist and a foul. No points. There's not really much to say there, right? Because
it's just
3 minutes. But finally, the player of the game, actually,
was
Jesus Cruz, they named him the player of the game. 32 minutes, 4 for 11 from the field, 2 for 4 from 3, 6 for 7 from the line, 7 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 4 turnovers, 4 fouls, 16 points. Jesus Cruz was the player of the game. Big shots.
He had a couple of really big shots at a hook.
He had a big big charge, too, at the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Took a big charge. So
He had the hook shot late, like very late, I think.
Yeah.
That was...
But more importantly, I was thinking of that three that he hit.
Oh, he two. The one where he pumped.
He had the two threes, but he had the one in... overtime, that was big.
Is it the one where he, like, pumped it? Oh, no, wait.
Right?
I'm trying to think of which one it was. I knew he had two. I was trying to think. The one where he pumped at the top of the key and stepped in from the wing.
I think it was the top of the key.
Yeah.
Either way, he hit a big
three. He had one at the end of the shot clock. It was, like, at the top of the key, pump faked, stepped into it. Honestly, if he can... It's a shame it's his last game against a three-point shot. He finally starts to get, like, a little bit of...
Like, 50% from three.
2 for 4, that's the best he shot in a game...
Probably this season, from three. So, yeah, and 4 for 11 from the field. Obviously, you're going to get that inside game from him, and we expect that. But, yeah, those two threes are huge, especially the one of them was in the big moment.
Yeah, on that Allen pass, I thought he was going to yam it. I thought he was going to – when he had, like, a great pass setup. He was, like, coming in baseline, like, full speed. If there was ever a time for Jesus Cruz to dunk, it would have been there.
It would have been big. We would have went crazy.
That would have been crazy.
Yeah, we would have went crazy out there. But, I mean – from these guys, from Cruz and Benning, like, you got to hope it's like that, like, obviously they can come back next year, but you got to hope it's like that, like, do-or-die mentality, like, these could be my last games in a Fairfield uniform.
I mean, it's still not guaranteed they come back. I mean,
no, not at all.
Jing hasn't mentioned anything about it. Like, there's, right, at this moment, you have to expect if they lose, this is their last game.
Yeah, they don't like, owe us anything to come back.
That's what I mean.
So, it's, yeah, like, you assume they'll want to play another season, but they don't have to, so... You never know. And if it is, and it, also they probably know too, kind of.
Yeah, they probably know in their own
in their own head. So they could be playing like, this is my last shot. Like, let's just give it all.
Yeah.
Cruz might be. You might see him again tonight, like trying to put the team on his back, because he knows, like, listen, this is it, or something like that.
And he's
so,
probably good enough to go play international somewhere too, make some money.
Yeah. Yeah, if Methnani's playing international,
then Methnani and Sanger Peterson.
I think that Cruz can definitely play internationally. So, yeah, I mean, overall, that's the game. Let's talk about some crucial moments. So let's talk about.
See, it all happened like in my head. It's
yeah, I'll try to break it down.
I remember, like moments.
Yeah.
What time?
You don't remember the specific plays. I'll try to break it down. So talk. Let's talk about now.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to the game cast. See if I can. Kind of see because they show like what happened at certain scores.
Yeah, so let's talk about Fairfield's late game management first. Just in general, late game management. How do you feel they did trying to?
I really don't think they did that poorly. It was just missed free throws, but I don't think like it was anything they could have really done like any better. Like they didn't turn the ball over really.
Yeah,
they had that one turnover with Kale, but.
So that was a big turnover.
They didn't really turn the ball over. They didn't like didn't get like caught in the corner on inbounds. Like they, it was just simply missing free throws.
Yeah. So the only thing I would say, and we'll go into the last play. This really is the last play of regulation, is the decision not to foul on the inbound of that last play.
That's what
and
I
make
said,
them shoot
yeah,
up
the
three,
four,
make them shoot free throws.
With the 4 seconds left, like, at the very end. Yeah, that's
the
what
regulation,
I
yeah.
I mentioned that. And also, and granted, you also have the possibility that you end up fouling them on the shot. They recognize that they just throw up in the air, you get a shooting foul. Then that's
yeah.
Disaster. That's, like, disaster one.
You could look at it two ways, right? So you could foul them, and they weren't shooting particularly well
they
from the line.
They would not have made all three. There's no way.
They weren't shooting well from the line. But the other way you could look at it, right, and even if it was...
If they were to foul on the shot, there was no way they're making all three.
Even if they didn't foul on the shot, they weren't shooting particularly well, but say they did hit two, we weren't shooting particularly well from the line either, so say we're only up one.
Yeah, but if you fouled at the right time, you had a second left, they would have to heal up a half-court shot.
Yeah, so personally, I would have fouled them, but I'm just trying to look at things, like, on both sides. Obviously, we weren't shooting well from the line either.
I mean, if you had a foul to give... That would be a different story. They were in the bonus plus already, I think, at that point.
Yeah.
If you had a foul to give, it would make a lot more sense because you could foul.
Yeah, and time would come off, and then they'd
still
have to
reset.
But even I think I would have fouled even with double bonus.
I was thinking about it too. I mean, it's just a thing about the one is too early to foul because if you foul too early and they make both, then you're kind of setting up yourself to lose the game. You also have to worry about
not inbounding the ball.
Yeah, inbounding the ball. If you turn it over, you get a jump ball. And it's Manhattan's ball, possession arrow. You have them. You're giving them a chance to win the game underneath the basket.
Yeah, at least they found themselves in a situation where they couldn't lose the game on that play.
Yeah,
three right?
up three. So,
I guess, but you know,
I mean, also you gotta just tip your cap. That guy made a
deep three,
shot, yeah.
a walk on. So
Did it really,
yeah,
really,
yeah.
Wow.
So, I guess you gotta tip your cap on that last play. But we were out there watching it, and we were ready to start celebrating.
Yeah, we were ready.
And that really, really, really took a hit on us. We were down bad when that one.
I was
one.
Worried. I mean, whenever the team that has no business like winning that game gets that second breath of like that second wind,
they could just run away with it in overtime.
And it looked that first session got me nervous the way they were playing defense. I mean, Manhattan was all over the place. And I think what was it? I think Taj might have gotten fouled in the first possession, got two free throws, kind of like reset the air.
Yeah, that last play. I mean. Yeah. And I guess they didn't defend it super poorly because the guys that were originally supposed to take the shot didn't get it.
Didn't they were in the paint on one. Didn't they drive in and try to kick it out at one point?
Yeah.
Like somehow, at some point, it got kicked back out to that guy.
So the guy's in the wings, and then he was out. Yeah. And he was deep, and you got to give it to him. That was a deep shot.
Yeah, I mean,
but
it wasn't like a. It's not like they forgot about. Like, they left him open.
I would be interested to ask Jae Young about the decision not to foul and stuff like that as well. Just to see, because it is interesting. I don't know, but that was a rough moment for us.
Yeah.
I at the same time, I thought we were gonna lose as well. I really did, and go to overtime, and obviously game goes on. Good game, close game, and then it's 59-58, and they have the ball.
After two more missed free throws.
After more missed opportunities to put the game away. And talk to me about that last play.
Yeah, was the guy that – was that the same guy?
Yeah.
It was the same guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he had the three in the corner. Like, I think it started at the top of the key.
I think Nelson was originally supposed to
– Well, he was the one with the ball originally, yeah.
Originally supposed to drive. It wasn't open for him.
So he kicks it to the corner.
He kicks it out to Lasko? Kicks it out to Lasko.
How does it get to the corner? Am I blanking? I was like, cover my eyes when this happened. I don't even remember.
He kicked it out to the corner.
Oh, he did kick it. Okay, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, and then he had the open three.
He had the open three.
Didn't
pumps,
take it.
Pumps, got whoever that was in the air. I
and then drives baseline.
Drives baseline, runs out of time.
Yep.
If he had two extra seconds, he would have been able to finish that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no chance it would have gone. There's no guarantee it would have gone in, but I'm saying.
He did throw it up and it didn't go in, but.
Yeah, he got it, like the put back or whatever, but it was up to the buzzer anyway. But, like, yeah, you kind of like. I mean, the same thing happened to Caleb last. Earlier this year with Stony Brook.
Yeah.
Like, had three chance to tie it and just drove.
It was a little unorganized for Manhattan, honestly. It seemed like once their main play failed, they didn't really have, like, a second option or, like, backup
that's on
plan.
That's kind of on that guy. I mean,
on the coach.
On the coach also. And
oh, on the player as well.
On that guy. I mean, you have the three open, take the shot. Like, it looks a lot worse when you don't even get a shot off than it would be if you missed a three.
You know what's interesting? I didn't even realize, but that guy only played 3 minutes.
Probably came in for the three. Probably comes in to, as a shooter, like kind of yeah. Stay in the corner and be able to. That's what makes it even more crazy. Like, his one job probably is to shoot the basketball.
Yeah, comes in for 3 minutes, ties the game, but then also, had a chance to win it. That's interesting. But just in general, I thought they were going to call a foul on that last play.
I was worried about a foul and free throws
because we could talk about this too. Is the refs were a little shaky last night.
I mean, it was. On and off, it was, like, very odd. Like, usually you have just people that refs that are really tight with their fouls and just calling everything, and refs that are loose.
Because there were a couple big moments, right? One of them, one of them was...
There was one foul I remember lead.
Well, Cruz was one of them. That's what I was going to save. Cruz was on the and one layup.
Oh, yeah,
basically either, like, put them down. It was, like, basically brought them back. That was
a
regulation.
Yeah, phantom foul. Yeah, that was literally nothing. Yeah. I didn't even touch them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that one was a very, very questionable call. Very bad call. And that one, if they didn't call that, I think we would have easily won the game.
Yeah.
Another one in our favor that was interesting was the Taj getting the ball over the court, and they gave the timeout.
Well, see, that's weird because the ESPN broadcast can't keep track of, what we see is the time going to 10.
Yeah.
The whistle going off, so we're like, oh, like he didn't get the timeout. And but if you go to the replay, he's running down the.
He's calling for it way
he's
before.
He's running down the court, calling for it for probably from the 23-second mark.
And that's once they gave the timeout, you really can't overturn that.
Yeah, no, I mean
that'd be kind of BS.
I mean,
if
also,
you overturn
they went
that.
To the review table. It's not like we didn't have a review table for this game. There was like probably 5 reviews during this game.
Yeah,
they review every other second.
But I just thought they were a little questionable last night. They were getting on my nerves a little bit, especially like. The series prior, I thought they were a little questionable in Manhattan. So
I have not been impressed with the MAC refs. I mean, I feel like every game, both teams win the bonus plus by the end.
Just the MAC broadcasts in general, honestly, have been a little down. I didn't really love the announcers last night either.
No, I didn't either.
They were like, have you ever seen a team line up on the baseline before?
Yeah, like they do it every game.
Fairfield does that.
Every
they've
game.
Been doing that for years.
Yeah.
Since
really?
We've been here.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I've only seen it since... I've only seen it this year.
I've seen it like
year.
In previous years. I've like definitely remember being at Alumni Hall and seeing that too.
No, but they've done that like a lot of games this year.
Yeah,
that's like a normal occurrence.
Clearly, those guys just didn't watch like any Fairfield games.
I mean, there's I wouldn't blame
so. that's their job, though.
Some of them are snooze fest, but they do have some good games, especially this year. They've had some reasons to watch.
And last night was such a good game.
Yeah.
I think we didn't really talk about, but just like the...
In general. As a general person that would want to watch basketball, if like a random fan was like, oh, like there's games close to the end, let's watch it, and had no idea what the teams were.
Like when we'll be here watching like random teams
like
in
Cal
their
Poly
tournaments.
And Austin.
Yeah.
And
yeah. So it was a really good game. And for us, like the emotions were crazy.
Yeah, no, we had a full, what, 7 of us? Six
we
of
had
us?
We had a full crowd outside his townhouse. Obviously social distanced on the lawn chairs. But we were making the jokes that, like, you know, when...
ESPN's going to come with the
Yeah, you know,
crew.
When ESPN, like, shoots back to, like, it'll be, like, a live look-in at, like, outside the Boston Garden or something like that, and it shows all the fans going crazy.
Whatever hall.
It'd be, like, a live look-in at six block Fairfield townhouses.
It's just seven people lying
seven of us
chairs.
Going crazy. We were, though. We were really invested in that. I think we might have woke up some people.
We had people staring
Apologies to the rest of the townhouse area over there.
We had people staring at us, for sure.
Yeah, but it was worth it. That might be my favorite Fairfield win ever.
I was told Two Block did not hear us from people.
Two Block. Okay. Courtney didn't hear us?
Yeah, she didn't hear us.
All right. So we're fine.
Yeah, we're fine for tonight.
I think we were probably the loudest when they hit that three to tie it.
Oh, no, for sure.
That was probably our loudest.
It was just expletives.
Yeah, so, I mean, but listen, Courtney might be listening. If anyone's listening tonight that lives over there, we're going to be just as loud tonight. So apologies, if not louder.
If they
so.
Win this game, I don't know what I'll do. But it will be loud.
It will, yeah. If they win this game,
I'm going to have to break that chair.
Threw the chair, right?
We're throwing
No, I'm not even kidding. That's probably my favorite Fairfield win ever. Just like
the biggest ever we've had
since we've been here,
obviously since we've been here.
Because just the moment too, and everything, right? Like
we were all so invested.
The scenes were cool outside. Yeah. I never watched like a game outside like that. The moment was big. It's the MAC tournament. We obviously haven't won one since we've been here. So you put everything into account, and just like how invested we were into it and how much we were cheering and stuff. I think that was my favorite Fairfield win ever. It's definitely up there.
I probably agree with you. I mean, I liked. I'll give you that.
Like, there have been some other ones. I liked being in Alumni Hall last year when we beat Niagara on the buzzer beater with Taj. I thought that was fun. Obviously, like, beating Texas A&M was cool.
But that's...
Well, we weren't even there or anything like that.
We're talking about just watching.
So I'm talking about, like, moment, like, being there in the moment. I think that was my favorite.
It's like, the Landon Texas A&M game, we were home.
Well, we were here. We were in Claver. Remember we watched it in Claver?
Texas A&M game?
You might have been not back yet.
I don't think I was back yet. I was still home.
We were coming back from some break.
Oh, okay.
So I remember I was back.
My Thanksgiving break, yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't back yet, but so I wasn't as like...
Yeah, I watched it here, but even then it was like three of us in our room. It wasn't
also,
like...
Also, my first, what made me fall in love with Stags basketball, Landon's breaking the three record.
Against Manhattan.
It was against Manhattan,
freshman year.
Yeah, that was like the first game I think I've ever watched.
So, yeah, there's been big games... And it might not be, like, the best game ever, but I think, like, moment, you factor in the game plus the moment and everything. I think that's my favorite Fairfield
sure.
win.
I might agree with you.
And hopefully...
Every coming day might get another bigger
That's what
win.
I'm saying. Anything beyond this would clearly be my favorite Fairfield win.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Anything beyond this. So, talking about that, let's look ahead. You know, we got 15 minutes left in the show. We're going to look ahead to tonight. And then, if we have time at the end, we're going to maybe look at some MAC, all MAC teams and player awards. So, tonight, 7:30, if you're listening live, tonight, 7:30. If you're listening on Wednesday, it's still tonight, 7:30. I don't know what time we're going to get this episode up. But tonight at 7:30, Fairfield Stags versus Monmouth. I believe Monmouth is the 2 seed, as we're the 7. ESPN right now giving them an 81% chance to win, while we have an 18.7% chance to win. So yeah, obviously we haven't played this team yet, right? So we had shout out to Frank, right, with the memes. Said the meme today was like, technically we're undefeated against Monmouth.
0-0
or undefeated, same thing, no difference. But yeah, we haven't played them at all, so it's going to be interesting. First look at them. But we know what they got. We've watched some of their games this year. And if you saw my MAC bracket that I put on our Twitter, I got the first round right. And I do have Monmouth winning the championship. But if it fails, if my bracket falls tonight, I definitely won't be sad about that. Ryder beating Canisius, though. That was pretty big. And I had that.
I mean,
I had that in my bracket.
Canisius doesn't really impress me that much. So
that's what I thought. I saw people on Twitter, one of the Twitter accounts that we follow and react with, said that Canisius was their sleeper pick to win it all.
Yeah, I mean, and also Ryder's not even like that.
Poor. Ryder had beaten Monmouth the previous weekend.
For the worst team in our conference, they're not too poor.
That's mainly why I picked them, is because they just beat Monmouth the
previous
weekend.
Momentum, which is exactly what's giving me kind of some type of confidence going into this game. Is that just it? All it takes is momentum. Kind of on a little bit of a
Jay Young out. Also, Jay Young also talked about that last night in the post game interview. He basically talked about, you know, we were a poor team in the beginning of the year, and a lot of those losses were in the beginning of the year when A, we didn't have Wojcik and Chrysler, and B, we just weren't as good of a team. And even though they've had some questionable games recently, they've still, like, hung in there with teams, beat St. Peter's, who's one of the better teams in the league, beat Canisius, obviously beat Manhattan twice now.
We do have our poor games, but we always
They've definitely gotten a lot better, though, since the season started. And Monmouth, I'm not sure what their last few games are looking like, but they've definitely
dropped off a little bit.
I don't know,
being having seven losses.
They definitely had COVID for a little while, so that was something they had to deal with.
They struggled late. They lost two in a row to Iona early, which kind of set them. Wait, no, late, my bad. They lost two in a row to Iona later in the year, like end of February, so that kind of made it tougher on them. Like, that kind of messed up their record a little bit.
Oh, did they actually beat Ryder? I guess they beat Ryder, but I remember it being close.
They played two close games.
So I blindly picked Ryder then in the Canisius series, thinking they beat Monmouth.
But, their losses are all to, like, solid teams, it seems like. They had St. Peter's, they lost St. Peter's, Siena twice, Niagara once, Iona twice.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why, I mean, I at the end of the day, I did pick them to win the tournament. So we're not, like, trying to say it's going to be easy, but I think the books got them at -8.5. It shows it right here on the ESPN page. Mm-hmm. -8.5. That's a heavy, heavy favorite right there. So we'll see what happens. But, obviously we know Hammond, who is on the MAC all first team. He's going to be someone you got to watch out for. 17.2 points per game, 37% field goal shooter. And 75% from the line. We obviously know Pappas as well.
Pappas obviously kind of one of their more electric players.
Yeah, a guy that could really fire the team up. He, I believe he's second team All-MAC as well. So what are your keys to tonight's game?
Just make them beat us with, like, not their two best players. Literally just try and find a way. Emily Martin and, like, some of their other, like, lower-level guys beat us, then so be it. But I cannot go out having Hammond and Pappas drop, like, 50 combined points on us.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like it would be a lot closer game if we can somehow get Hammond and Pappas on a bad day. It would be a lot easier for us to stick in it. And also, I mean, it's not even, like, that crazy to think, because our defense, like, I'm very confident in our defense to kind of be able to close out better. I mean, we kind of play a smaller lineup with Caleb and Wojcik in the backcourts, which could hurt us. But, I mean, Taj and Cruz are more than capable defenders. And, I mean, Allen might play a role tonight on a guy like Hammonds. He might be able to play a role.
Yeah, and that's, like, one of the keys, too, is, like, and a lot of people have been tweeting it. Our Twitter is actually, we got a lot of activity last night. Shout out to everyone that, interacts with us on Twitter. But, you know, people are tweeting about it, and basically the keys, right? First of all, our bigs have to be big tonight, and obviously we don't have Mido, so that's...
basically Supreme and Jason.
Yeah, and Chrysler.
Maybe Chef, even. You never know.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. I mean, I don't think he'll get a lot of minutes tonight. But, you know, obviously we're going to have to be big down low. I think someone was saying that they struggled with the bigs. And then, like you said, we're going to have to close out their three-point shooters and their better players, Pappas, Hammond. It's going to be tough. Like, just honestly, right? It's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's not that much, not great of a chance, but, I mean, it wasn't a great chance that we beat Manhattan either.
We're the favorite.
At halftime?
Technical favorite, but 7-10 we were favorite.
After scoring 16 points in the first half, down 11 points, we were kind of dead in the water.
Yeah, for sure. But, we'll see what happens tonight. Obviously, we're going to be active on Twitter. I've definitely got a meme planned before the game. And then you know I always have my memes ready for after the game if we win. So, definitely at Red Sea Radio on Twitter. Give us a follow. Interact with us. Tweet us about the game. We'll be active tonight for sure. We'll see how it goes. If any of the boys happen to listen to this before the game,
good luck.
Good luck. We're rooting for you. We're going to be holding down the fort over here, over on 6 Block, again, getting rowdy. And hopefully you guys give us something to be rowdy about tonight. Finally, to wrap up the show, we're going to take a look at some MAC awards / all-MAC teams because I think next week we'll probably do like a season wrap-up. And just the way that this show is going to go from now on with no more games, probably try to just get a bunch of interviews for you guys. I know we talked to Zach Chrysler. He's going to come on one time. We'll obviously want to get Jay Young back on. Definitely want to try to get maybe Jake in here. Really anyone on the team, right?
Anyone on the team can come on.
We'll try to just do like a lot of interviews after this. We'll try to mix in some other sports too. But we definitely can't promise to be as active as we were with the basketball season just because it's our favorite sport.
It's our favorite sport.
And it's a lot easier to access too.
A lot
of the other games are hard to watch, like the baseball or, you know, lacrosse, soccer. They're not all as easily on ESPN Plus and stuff like that. So, all right. So Manny Camper, MAC Player of the Year, took it from his boy Jalen Pickett, but he held down the fort. Pickett was hurt of the year.
I was going to say, because he's the only non-unanimous first-teamer, which is interesting to me, because I feel like he's like kind of the unanimous best player.
He did have a little bit of a down year, though. He was hurt at times. And I feel like when we played Camper, when we played Siena, I think Camper definitely was the best player.
Yeah.
Averaged 14 points, 14.6, 10 rebounds, and 3.9 assists. He's the guy that's definitely going to play overseas in the pros.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think everyone on that All-MAC first team can definitely play overseas.
Yeah, for sure. And rookie of the year was Junior Joseph from Iona, who looked good last night. He's going to be someone that we're going to have to worry about for a while in this league, Junior Joseph. And just in general, Iona looked good yesterday.
They did. They blew the doors off Quinnipiac.
Yeah.
Who definitely had a tough year. I was surprised.
Yeah. After they lost Rich Kelly and who's the dude that went to Texas A&M?
Whatever.
They're big. Yeah, they're big, man. After they lost those two guys, kind of a rough one. I'm trying to look for the All-MAC teams, and I can't find them now. I know we tweeted about them, so we'll definitely find that. Show's almost over, by the way. We got 6 minutes left in here. Here are some of the All-MAC teams. So there we go. All right, let me load it up. I know the first team, obviously, you had Pickett. Obviously, you had Camper. Here we go. We got Hammond from Monmouth.
Marfo.
And Defo. Oh, yeah, Marfo was the guy that left. But All-MAC first team, Camper, Hammond, and Defo, Pickett, and Isaiah Ross. Very solid team.
I don't think
you can really complain about that.
Honestly, I think there's maybe a little bit of, levels, should be first or second, but I think the teams on all the first, second, and third teams are warranted.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe sneaking a Taj Benning on third team, but, you know.
Well, second team, we had Marcus Hammond from Niagara, who is really good, too. He's that guy that, very top-tier second team. Could have been fighting for first. Murray Jr. from Ryder. Nwandu from Niagara. Pappas from Monmouth, who we mentioned. And Rigoni from Quinnipiac. Finally, the third team. Banks from St. Peter's. Green from Canisius. King from Siena. Jordan King is as a sophomore. I know you were pretty high on him, too. And then Malik Martin from Monmouth. And then Nelson and Williams from Manhattan. Yeah.
That's realistic.
I guess they couldn't pick.
They couldn't.
And somehow, our boy didn't get in there. Taj Benning. I guess, why do you think he didn't get in there? I feel like maybe it's like the slight inconsistencies over the...
Earlier, I guess, if he kind of played that way for the entire season, kind of like that stretch he had in the middle, where he was going 20-20-20 every game.
Yeah.
If he kind of...
At that point, we were like, all right, no way he doesn't get on. But
then he kind of slumped a little bit towards the end. Made it tough. No, but the thing is, a guy like Malik Green, he had, a solid year, averaged, 13-7. But, I mean, it was all from the last five games of the year. He went 29-14, 21-12, 13. That was a guy that had, 8 threes against Fairfield on Canisius.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not it's a requirement to play up to that par.
I thought he could have made third team.
So, yeah, I don't know. And also,
when you think of, like Nelson and Williams made it last, like, those are two guys that we just beat twice in a row, you know, for Manhattan. So, I don't know. I feel like Taj was, like, you know, like, if we didn't have Taj this year, we would have lost most of the games. Even with Wojcik playing well, we would have lost most of the games.
Two or three games.
He is, like, definitely our most valuable player. And you know, like you said, he had multiple 20-point games. And he never really played super poorly. He had, like, maybe one or two poor games the whole season. Even when he did drop, like, 9 or 10 points, it was still solid game, solid on defense. So, you know, I was a little shocked to not see him on the third team. But, I don't know. I was hoping last night he would use that as, like, motivation to play better, to show them, like, I should have been on this. I should have been here. So, yeah, but those are the MAC awards. I know more came out. I know Andrea won 6th Woman of the Year for Fairfield.
That's good.
Andrea Hernan Gomez. So shout out to her. I know Lou got first team all MAC for the women's division as well. So shout out to her. And they play. Do they play today?
The girls?
Yeah. I think they play Thursday. The women's bracket.
Yeah, they play tomorrow in the afternoon.
Yeah, so we'll keep up with them. I think they're the 4 seed, 3 or 4 seed.
They're 4 vs. 5, Manhattan.
So we'll keep up with them. Hopefully they could do it.
They could actually do it.
Yeah, they could. They actually could. What do they need to win? 3 games?
I think this is probably their quarterfinals. Yeah, so 5 vs. 4 should be their quarterfinals.
So they need to win 3 games. And we'll see what happens. We're going to wrap up our show. Like we said, absolutely massive day yesterday. So much fun watching that game. Haven't been that excited about sports in a long time. My teams don't usually win that much, especially Thunder right now rebuilding. Mets never win. So my teams don't usually win that much. That was a huge game for me. I know we're going to be super excited about tonight. We'll be tweeting, so stay active with us at Red Sea Radio on Twitter. Share this podcast with everyone before tonight. Get ready for the game. Enjoy the game. We'll be back next Wednesday at 12 with a season wrap-up. Unless they're playing in the tournament. But, you know, we'll probably wrap up the season and do a bunch of interviews. Thank you always for listening. We're going to get up out of here. And, again, enjoy the game tonight. WVOF 88.5 FM. It's been Red Sea Radio. As always, go Stags.